Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1% so you can amplify your business and your life today. I'm excited for today's guest. He is an entrepreneurial hustler. He's out there making big things happen. His name is Ramon Ray, and he loves Aunt Jemima syrup with burnt pancakes and bacon. I like my bacon crispy as well. And he started 4 different companies, sold one. He's also a graduate of the FBI Citizens Academy, so watch out. And he's a former United Nations employee and best-selling author, as well as he's the owner of Smart Hustle Magazine. Always hustling, Smart Hustle Magazine. So I want to welcome Ramon Ray to Making Bank.
Hey, Josh, that's an intro I'm going to save forever, and thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to be with you, man. Really a pleasure. Thank you.
So I'd really love to know a little bit about more about your background. I mean, you have 4 different companies you started. Sure. You sold one. You know, when did you get started as an entrepreneur?
Sure. I like to say my domain name of one of my companies, Small Biz Technology, was started in April 1999. I have a bad memory. I don't know because I shake my head regularly. So
yeah.
What, over 20 years, 25 years, give or take, I think that in 1999 would be a couple years ago.
And so what did that company do? What kind of got you started in that?
Absolutely. So overall, my whole DNA has been, I started as an IT guy, whatever that means. You know, back in the day when 286 computer chips were like fast, I don't know, when 1 megabyte of memory was all needed. And so I've always been a techie to a degree. And I think one day I was at the Jacob Javits Center, those who know New York area, some big convention center. And there was one of the dial-up internet companies, you know, the bulletin board systems, beep, 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 and all that. Fast forwarding many years, that became my love of tech. And so that's where I had a technology consulting company. That was my first company I started. And I don't know what you call it, Josh, when you just stop doing it. You don't sell it. You don't exit it. It just kind of dissolves.
It just stops.
So I stopped doing it. And then my second one was Small Biz Technology. And that's still running today. And that's kind of an agency dealing with technology. Third company was Small Business Summit. I wanted to do events, Josh. And I was like, you know what? Me and a partner – events are a lot of money. Nobody's going to come. We're not going to get sponsors. So as any entrepreneur, yes, let's do it.
Right.
and that was the company I sold, Small Business Summit. And then my company today is Smart Hustle. So I think I really started just from a love of tech. And then the internet bug, probably maybe similar to you or others who are out there who just started playing with Prodigy, AOL, Microsoft Front Page. So that's how it started. And really the world of content, I was opening my eyes that – you know, I can remember my first gig that I was hired. Like, as they said, Ramon, can you come and speak? It happened to be the Inc. 500. I'm like, what an honor, sure. Like, what's your fee? My fee? So if that helped, that's kind of how I started. Just doing it, building stuff, shipping, and then over time realizing that there's money to be made in the world of content, in the world of speaking. And that was my journey.
No, that's really cool. I know. It's like when I was 14, that's when I started my first company. It was computers. I wanted that Commodore Amiga computer. And, you know, I was like, okay, I know I can buy it cheaper than like $800 or whatever the retail on it was. And, you know, called the company and they mailed me the dealer application and filled it all out and mailed it back. And I think 30 or 60 days later, I got an approval letter. And, that's how it all started. And then networking at the different little shows. And like you said, dial up and BBS stuff and all that back in the day. So it was definitely on that similar path there in the beginning.
And I think it's interesting how the journey goes because, you know, I think there is something to be said in first movers, this new, it's not industrial age, but this age of tech.
Right.
I think those of us who've been in it for 20 to 30 years, give or take, it's different than the Instagram, like my wife, she's a homeschool mom, than the person who's starting a year ago.
Yeah.
And she has like 1,000 followers who are rabid after my wife. So it's just interesting the differentiation in history, as it were, or when one starts.
Yeah, definitely. And what I guess along the way, what were some of the biggest challenges, you know, with your different companies that you ran into that made you say, man, this is, I really need to change this or things aren't going to work out, or, you know, I really need to, learn from this because the company's going the wrong direction.
Sure. And I think there's 3 challenges for me, which I hope helps people in your audience. I think one was just the startup phase. Okay. Of, I was working, as you said in the intro, I was at the United Nations for a number of years until I was fired / resigned because of my entrepreneurial journey. Right. So I think, and I started three of my companies while at the UN and sold one, I think, as I was leaving. Point being, that was struggle number one, you know, being in a cubicle and a full-time day job, as many maybe of your listeners are.
Sure.
When do I leave? How do I leave? I got to feed my family. So that was one struggle and challenge, and I can share that if you wish. Point two is the aspect of, I think, now I have a thriving company. Smart Hustle's been in business for 3 years, you know, small biz technology forever. You know, Josh, I think it's one thing to go from zero to 60. I read a lot of your things, but then scaling it bigger, that's, I think, been my biggest difficult. Setting up a website's easy. But man, okay, you made 100,000, 200,000. How do you go beyond half a million mark?
Right.
And that's a weak area of mine. You know, I'm not the scale guy, so I have to learn it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's where a lot of people run into challenges and stuff. And I know I've consulted with a lot of different companies that have been in those similar positions. The one company we have now, my wife started a skincare business. And, you know, the year before we hit seven figures last year. This year will be multiple seven, and then, you know, we're scaling to eight figures next year for 2017. And it's not an easy situation, especially, as you know, as things really ramp up, you got to make sure you got certain pieces in place along the way to really support what you're doing, or you won't ever get there.
No, for sure. And I'm going through the aspect of freelance versus entrepreneur. And that's a big struggle for me as well. I'm solving that. But, you know, as a freelance mindset, you want to do everything yourself. Right. If you're building a scalable business, you know, once you hit a certain number, you got to delegate and stop doing stuff yourself. You can't edit that image in Canva anymore. Right.
And I think that's the hardest thing for entrepreneurs, even like I know for myself, is delegating. Because, you know, okay, well, I can do it. And sometimes it's easier for me just to do it than to go teach somebody. But that's how you get some of your time back to continue doing what you love and move stuff off your plate, is by teaching somebody else and spending that time, whether it's a week or 2 weeks, to make sure they're trained up and have that DNA in them of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, training is so important. And I'm learning that as well. I mean, know these things. But as I scale, I'm like, you know what? I can't just tell, you know, I hired Josh as my intern, you know,
right.
Or as my copy editor. I have to transfer my mindset to him. I got to give him a manual. Yeah. That's how we scale. Yep. Because hopefully he'll get better and train someone else. So I think that aspect you said of training others is definitely something to learn. You know, I have an executive assistant. I have project managers, my video manager, these people on my team. But man, I'm making sure that there's manuals or some sort of templates in place. So if we get somebody else, they can slip into that role. Kind of like McDonald's.
Yeah, for sure. You got to create that system and everything for everybody. I know one of the things you mentioned is you started three of your businesses while you were working at the UN. So you kind of almost had the whole side hustle thing going on. And I mean, you know, let's dive into a little bit more about that and just what you experienced and direct challenges with that for sure.
Sure. Absolutely. And I think that's a unique challenge. Unique meaning, I think those people who are fortunate or cursed, depending on how you look at it, to be fully 100% on your own, and especially as you're starting out, you have to make sure that revenue comes in every day.
Right.
But you have more time to scale, more time and freedom to do all the stuff that needs to be done as an entrepreneur. Those of us who started our journey while working a full-time job, we're getting a steady check coming in, but we're doing stuff like, pretend this is a phone, Josh. Hi. I can't come out right now because my boss is around the corner.
Yeah.
So you have to build your business while working your job, your day job. You have to scale and work, have a team in place, lunchtime, early in the morning. Trust me, I know what it's like to wake up at 3 and 4 in the morning every day. So that was, I think, the big challenge. And then I think three was just that day when I was fired. I mean, it's like, Ramon, it's Wednesday. You know it's coming. We're not going to extend your contract. United Nations language for being fired.
Right.
2 days from now. So, but thankfully, hopefully this helped somebody, I had built up a client base. I had revenue coming in. I was just scared Josh to leave. And if I wouldn't have got fired, I don't know, maybe I'd still be here today, like secretly in a UN room somewhere interviewing, you know, on this interview.
And I think a lot of people, they tend to hold on to that safety net for sure. And, you know, I got it good here, and then here it's doing really well. But I'm really comfortable because I know this is safe. This is what I know.
Yes.
And, you know, that's that part where we the whole courage piece is, you know, yes. What is that, you know, where, how can I regain some of that courage to take that step, to push past that fear? And I know one of the things for me, just being an entrepreneur owning 15 companies since I was 14, is I've never really had that. That was like a challenge that for me that I guess I've never really had an issue with, is that fear thing, maybe because I started so young. And it's just like, yeah, let's just go do it. And then you think back later, like, wow, that was just kind of crazy. I just built all this, or I did this, or maybe it worked, maybe it didn't work. And but that the fear thing is never, it wasn't one of those like instant triggers, like, oh man, I'm worried about this, and I just went and did it. And now it's got to be a little more calculated when you're have kids and a wife and everything else now. But when I was single, it was just more like, boom, hit it hard.
And I must say, Josh, that was part of it. I had children when I was young, in the early 20s, and a married and a wife. So that was one component. You're hitting the nail on the head, and I'm sure there's people in that range. And I think you're right, the fear. But I must say, it can go either way, right? Meaning, if I wouldn't have left the UN, Josh, I wouldn't be who I'm blessed to be today.
Right.
I wouldn't be.
Right.
But yet I understand the fear of those. You know, I'm making $100,000, $200,000, $60,000 a year at a job. I can't give you the right answer, but I must say, I think my advice is, if you have customers, if you've proven your concept, if you have some sort of steady flow, whatever that is, nothing legal here between Josh and I, but to you all listening, I would say it's a nice benchmark that I think you can push yourself to lead, in my opinion.
For sure. No, I totally agree. Hey, we got to take a quick break. Can you stick around for a minute?
I'd love to, man.
Awesome. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we've had the honor this morning to speak with Ramon Ray from Smart Hustle Magazine, diving into how he started three different companies while he was working somewhere else, and as well as selling one of those businesses. We've been diving a little bit about what some of those challenges are and how to kind of break through those and move yourself to that next level. So, Ramon, welcome back to Making Bank.
Josh, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here, man.
So let's see. So we talked a little bit about, you know, how you got started those businesses, some of those challenges. Sure. What was it like for you when you realized your one business and you were able to sell that?
Wow, it felt great. And again, you know, I guess there's different types of entrepreneurs, different strengths. My strength is the personal branding, marketing, social media side. I guess everybody says that, but that is my strength. I'm not a systems and operations type guy, which I should be. So my point being, when I first was selling it, I had to like call friends, Josh. I didn't know what pre-money, post-money. I still don't know what that stuff means. I mean, I have an idea. So I had to call people, dude, what do I do? You know?
Is this good? Not good.
It was just a pleasure to, you know, make something, man, have it generate revenue, and have somebody, you know, pay you X for that revenue or profit. So it was a great experience. And I want to do it again. I want to do it two or three more times before I die.
No, that's awesome. So one of the things you mentioned was branding, social media, marketing, and everything. I guess, how did you really do, is that something you're like, man, because you were at UN, is that something you did at the United Nations, or is this something that you've kind of created for yourself through the whole branding, social media, and marketing along your journey?
Yeah. And again, some of the purists are like, Ramon, those are different. Branding, social media, marketing. I get it, guys. So it's okay. But so for me, I think it's because of what I've done, especially the branding side. As one who's been in the media, including on Making Bank Show, you know, on their own, not like a PR person representing you. Right. As one who's been a best-selling author, not directly on my own. We all need people to help us, but who's led that effort, not like an agency to help me. So I can claim that mantle because I've done it. You know, been invited to the White House to speak to the president's staff and et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So that's, I think, why I can claim and say that I do that well. And I'm not a consultant, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. I don't teach people this. It's just when I speak and I'm on stage and et cetera, that's where I hang my hat because I've done it. I've used the power of social media, writing, being an author to keep building my brand, which, as we know, generates more revenue for a variety of things you can do.
Sure. And so with the branding and the whole marketing and everything, what are maybe three of your key strategies that have worked well for you that help create leverage and create success in what you're doing?
Absolutely. I think one thing about brand building, especially personal branding, is the aspect of building a tribe. That is so important. Sure. I'm not saying sales are not important. If I have this pencil here and I want to sell it for, I don't know, 49 cents. Yeah, you got to make sales. But I'd rather start a community of children who are writers then seed. Do you want to buy a pencil once every other X time, if you get what I mean? You can probably say it better than me. You know, build a tribe. So that's one. Way to build a tribe, of course, is with the tools of social media. So you look on my feed, Josh, and everybody's different. I'm always tweeting, online, video posts, all kind of things like that. That's right. Point two. And I would say point three, what I call stretch things. You got to have the book, man. You got to do an event. You got to have some sort of asset, a podcast, a blog, something to hang your hat on. So those are three things, you know, if I had to be real quick, which I know I have to be, that I would say to people to build their brand.
And what, so what have you found was, is or was, or in the future, the best social media platform that's been able to help you build the best tribe for you?
Sure. And again, this answer may be different than others, but for me, it's been Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
Just because I think Facebook has that engagement. I can tag Josh, tag this person, they can comment. I know Instagram's getting it and other platforms, Snapchat, but everybody, even your grandmama, is on Facebook. So hence Facebook for me, and then Twitter, that's that instantaneous. You and I connected on Twitter.
Right.
You know,
definitely.
That was because where you are, I get your stuff, I retweet you. So I think that for me, Facebook and Twitter, but again, others, Instagram could work. Many people are doing things, that famous DJ guy on Snapchat,
right?
You know, so.
And how about, you know, have you implemented any of the Facebook Live or any of that in what you're doing?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm really, you know, there's some people who are geeked out on Facebook and all these tools, but I think Facebook Live is important because people like live. Now, having said that, Josh, I must say, I've measured it. And for my audience, I'll get hundreds and thousands of views, not hundreds of thousands, hundreds, comma, and thousands of views, you know, just with on-demand video. That's just for whatever reason. My tribe, my audience is not kind of the, oh, Ramon Ray's brushing his teeth live. Let's watch him. They're not that those type of people. So
not,
for
not
me,
the behind the scenes, right?
Exactly. And definitely not Facebook Live while I'm combing my hair, you know, my bang. But really, I think Facebook Live works. I definitely have no fear, and I do paid advertising. That works to build up that brand more because, as you know, this is not free. Facebook and all these social platforms do it so businesses can pay.
Right.
So I think Facebook Live, regular Facebook. And then I think, Josh, it's about the frequency. I always like to tell people frequency, relevancy, engagement, analytics. Those are my four things for social.
Cool. And one of the things I know, I think, is that you mentioned is the analytics, is being able to measure. Because a lot of times you keep doing something. You're like, man, it's not working. And you go back and you look and you have like zero engagement or one person.
Yep.
And you know, and maybe it's the same message you've been repeating over and over.
Right.
Going back and tweaking that message and keep on testing to see what that app, what's actually going to catch people's attention is huge,
right.
For sure. So,
right. And I think that's important, Josh, because your audience, you know, like I tell women entrepreneurs, you're focused. Oh, we only focus on women entrepreneurs. What if you have 10% of your guys who are shaved head white guys and another 10%, you know, shaved head black guys,
right.
You may want to start talking to guys.
Yeah, right.
So. That's my silly example. You know, measure what you're doing.
Definitely. And I know part along with what you're doing, how'd you get media attention? How can other people go out and get media attention and create that PR buzz, that publicity around themselves as you have?
Sure. I think there's a couple ways. I think one is by directly stalking. No, did I say stalking? No, let me rephrase that. Networking with the. So that's one. I think, you know, many journalists, whether they're traditional journalists or people who have platforms such as Making Bank, are looking for people to interview and talk to. I tell people there's a media equation. CNN needs good content or they have no shot. So don't be afraid to reach out and network with the journalists. I can go longer in that, but that's the one point.
Okay.
Directly make friends with, network with. I think two, look legitimate. Whether it's CNN, Reuters, the local town paper, when they Google you, search you, you know, most people will do a perfunctionary, I think is the English word, like cursory.
Right.
Let me look up this person. If you look busted, well, you're not going to get a call.
Yeah.
So at least look half decent, whether you're half decent as a tie or a cool teacher.
Right.
Whatever.
No, that's awesome. And then I guess, so you said networking with journalists. What have you found is the best way to really connect with them? Is it LinkedIn, Twitter?
Sure.
And then what have you found that's really grabbed that attention of that journalist to want to connect with you?
Yeah. I think, Josh, the biggest thing, one, measure how important it is for you. This is important because what I'm going to say. So it was important for me to get in front of Joe Connolly, is a reporter at Bloomberg and WCBS Radio 88 in New York. He may be syndicated, maybe you know. Point is, I met him at an event. I went there to target him, help ads.
Sure.
I did it again. I'm sure you know how to network. You know, y'all can look up how to network. You have to do it in the right way.
Right.
But we're now buddies and friends. So that's kind of my famous story of how I did it. I just went and met him.
Right.
Just shook his hand. Wasn't a jerk about it. Now, you can do it online too. But for me, if it's real important, pay the $750 to go to the event they're at.
Sure.
You know, pay the $2,500 entry fee. So that's one. Online, you can do it. It's a little harder. Because
right.
people are really drowning, but I think add value. Be interested genuinely in what they're doing, whether you're retweeting, commenting, adding value, that's how people begin to notice. Because I think that we all are friendly. People who want to reach me, I read my stuff. I'm vain, just like the next guy. I mean, you look like a humble guy, so probably not you, but I'm vain. So I read, you know, oh, somebody commented, you know?
Yeah.
So
no, I think one of the things that was really important that you mentioned was you went to the event and you had your intention set. Hey, this is what my intention is. This is why I'm going. This is who I want to connect with. Because a lot of times, as you mentioned, you know, when you're doing events or networking, people just kind of sit there and wander around, or they're there just to be there.
Right.
And they don't really have those takeaways or get anything out of it. So having that intention, why you're going, who you want to connect with, I think is definitely key and important for sure.
Yes. So important, Josh. You're exactly right. I mean, hey, that's how I interviewed, you know, almost presidents before. So, you know, I've done it all.
So tell me, what are some of your keys to success? I know, you know, obviously hustle's a big one. You got Smart Hustle Magazine. And, you know, what are some of your key success triggers?
Sure. I think there's a few things, Josh. I think for me, one, and this, it may sound corny to some, but it's what my clients and others have told me.
Okay.
So,
sure.
You know, one is being nice and easy to work with. We all claim that, but that's just one thing about me. You know, Ramon, do you need first class from New Jersey to Atlanta? No, that's sinful. Of course I don't need first class for a 2-hour flight. So just being easy to work with and a nice guy.
Right.
That's one trait that's helped me. I think two, making the human connection to people. You know, Josh, I'm a firm believer in, you know, if I have client X or friend Y, let me call them and say happy birthday. Let me send them a delight box, a card. So
sure.
I think that human connection is missing. I think that's two. I think three, always follow up. Put little reminders to yourself. Oh, I'm trying to get to meet, I don't know, this famous person or whoever it is. They're busy or whatever it is, but they didn't say no, follow up. So I can go on, Josh, but I think being nice, following up, delighting people. I think those are three things that have really helped me. And I think what we all want to do, over-deliver. But I really make it a point, you know, somebody hired me to speak in X city. Not only am I going to crush the stage, but how can I add value to what they're doing to me?
Right.
Those are four things.
Yeah, and I think that's super important what you mentioned was the human connection, because everybody's super busy. They got so much going on, so much information coming at them. It tends to get pushed to the side. And I think just that little bit that you mentioned that you do makes a dramatic difference for sure.
Yeah. And you can put alerts, right? If I want to meet Josh in person, I can put a Google alert. I mean, if you're that kind of person, some people are more private, but you know, if you're the person, hey, I'm here and here, I will meet you in 2017. That's hopefully so, right?
Yeah, we missed each other at the one conference, so I know we were both there.
And, exactly.
I think we missed each other there. So tell me a little bit about what have you learned along your journey? I know you kind of mentioned like scaling, but with a startup, what has made you successful
Absolutely.
In really getting those four different companies, those startups really happening?
Sure. So Smart Hustle is my fourth startup. And I think to talk specifically about that, because the lessons are the same. I think one, a coach. Slightly different than a mentor, I'm learning. So I've really invested, Josh, in, as I told you today, I'm at an event today where I paid a ticket price for an event today with another, you know, very famous author that we know. So my point is that investing in educating my brain, that's one. Two would be a coach. I've hired a business coach once a month to help me push me along. Are they telling me something radical and new that I didn't know? Probably not, to a degree. But a coach is point two. I think point three, having a great team. You know, some people, and it sounds weird, I make sure, and I thought it was like a joke, Josh, you hear these like thought leaders like yourself and others, ha ha ha, hire people smarter than you. Yeah, okay. No, it's true.
Right.
You gotta hire people who are better than you. I think for writing stuff down and trying to be systematic, you can't grow a company, Josh. You know, especially for me, it's worse because I'm like squirrel, scatterbrained. But if you don't write things down, whether using Asana or other tools. So those are four things if it's helpful, but really just writing things down, a mentor, coach to help. I think having a great team, knowing your limitations, I found as well. Like I said to you, Josh, numbers is not my thing.
Right.
Now to some people, oh, Ramon, you got to know your numbers. Yes, you're right. But if you get people to help you with that, you'll succeed. So I think knowing where you're weak at and then getting help for it is important. Those are four things I think that for me in building four companies and selling one, and I'm on the journey for the fourth, have helped me. I don't know if I'll get to 15. I don't think I want that. Maybe five or six.
That's all right. Four key strategy ones, five. That's awesome. And I think, you know, I totally agree with you. I mean, having a coach is huge. I mean, I think that's dramatically important because whether you're the best NFL, NHL, soccer player, whatever it may be. I mean, they all have high-level coaches, not just their coach that coaches mm-hmm. them at the team, but whether it's for increased speed, increased, you know, something specific right. that they want to work on. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, a lot of times we don't think about that. And yes. that kind of gets pushed aside. And, you know, we want somebody that's going to challenge us every month or every week, somebody that's going to call us out. You know, on right. those things that maybe we're heading down the wrong direction, and you know they call us out and let us know as well. As you mentioned, education and learning and investing. I mean, you know, I invest a significant amount of resources in learning and always yeah. Keeping my mind with information of what's coming, yes. what's happening, and I think that's dramatically important. And then building a great team. You know, I think you know having a great team is huge. That's one area that I've always had good success in, but also am horrible in at hiring and everything else. So I tend to push that out to somebody else to help with right. that when you get to a certain right. level for sure. So no, that's awesome. And I think great key success strategies that anybody, not just you, not myself, I mean, that need to implement in their business, in their life to help them move to that next stage, to help them scale, to help them make that next level that maybe they haven't been able to hit yet for sure.
Right. And I think it's interesting, Jeff, Josh, because everybody's different as well, right? You know, we've all have different experiences. So you have, you know, I'll use my wife as an example. She has zero business experience at all.
Right.
If she wants to build a company, which we want, her needs are going to be different. My right. case, I build a few companies, but I've already said my weaknesses. So, you know, I think it'll matter who you go to for strengths because everybody has different weaknesses or knows nothing about business. And I've run into many entrepreneurs with a great idea. I want to make, you know, a marker company. Because I'm the best marker maker, but yeah. I really don't know. I don't even know how to spell tax. Okay, in this case, you need to go, you know, learn that from somebody before you start this business.
Definitely, yeah. Or at least have somebody along the way
yes.
helping with that and everything for sure.
For sure.
We got a few minutes left. Definitely tell me a little bit about where people can find you, where they want them to go, and sure. everything.
Absolutely, Josh. No, thank you. I mean, my passion, Josh, is really all about the hustle, about entrepreneurship. So I'd be honored if people have a story to share, want to share about their journey, especially those who are starting out, you know. Josh is at the 1%. I'm like those who are like the 99%. That's my market to move you up.
Right.
So smarthustle.com. Love for people to check that out. If I can be of service to anyone, as I said, I am not a consultant. I have nothing to sell you. But if I can help you, you know, if you want to email me, hey, Ramon, you talk about personal branding, help me out. Just, you know, RamonRay.com is my profile site. So check that out. But thanks for asking. And I love entrepreneurs. And as your t-shirt says, all about the hustle all the time.
That's right. Real quick is just so people know, Smart Hustle Magazine, is that a print magazine? Is it digital?
Both.
Okay.
Print and online. It prints. We've done several copies last year, and it's a print magazine. You can sign up on the website. And, cool. of course, the email is easiest. Most people want that. But it's print and online. Everybody's told me, Ramon, why print? That's crazy. Listen, print's still useful when they tell you to shut off your phone on the airplane yeah. or when you're, like, sitting on the toilet. You know, print right. still has its purpose.
Works good. No, that's awesome. And what's one piece of technology that you can't live without?
Oh, man, my phone probably, my laptop. My webcam,
nice.
And I have a lot of online tools. I found so Pocket is many people probably know it. It has a lot of viewers, but Pocket's a little app, you know, that you can like right click and save stuff you want to read. We're all busy,
oh,
so
right.
I use the Pocket app quite a bit to just say 50 articles maybe when I'm on a flight, then I can read it if there's Wi-Fi. So Pocket's a cool app that I thought was useful for me.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think I've done in the past was try to do use Evernote and try to save them off that way. But Pocket sounds pretty cool too. I'll have to check that out for sure. So, but I want to just say thanks. You know, it's an honor to have you on the show, been able to spend some time today. Definitely want to have you back on at some point and really connect and dive into more on some specific topics even. But thanks again for coming on Making Bank.
It's a pleasure, Josh. Thanks for having me, man.
I am Josh Felber. You've been watching Making Bank, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1%. So I want you to get out and be extraordinary.